Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
The Hawks are now 3-2 after defeating the Penn State Nittany Lions. Feels good. I think Hawkeye Nation is in a better spot. Drake and I are going to break it all down, talk about the Big Ten, talk about Spencer Petras, T. Good, Mekhi Sargent, where are the Hawks going? What does this Hawk team look like compared to those first 2 weeks? What happened? Let's have a day. Let's go. Oh, here we are, the Oil Spill Podcast. We're 165.
Welcome back to the Oil Spill.
The Oil Spill Podcast, man. We're back. Welcome in.
Without Kevin, again, per usual.
You know, I respect Kevin a lot.
He's a grinder.
We texted him last night. Actually, you texted us last night, said, hey, guys, let's try and get it done in the morning. You know, Sunday morning. It's God's day.
The Sunday morning oil spill.
You know, Tiger's wearing red, you know, wherever he's at. And there's oil spills happening. And that's an inside joke. The Hawks are 3-2. Lots of things to talk about. You said, hey.
As a matter of fact, I think the Hawks are 3-0. I think the first two games, that was a different Hawk team.
Yeah.
I think those were, that was a sick team. That was an egotistical team. And I think an 0-2 team that has had their ego deflated quite significantly restarted the season, act as if the first two games didn't happen, and said, you know what, we're going to actually take the coach's advice, seeing as they've done this for over 20 years and have figured out a game plan on how to make successful teams out of subpar athletes. So we're going to take their advice. We're going to listen to them. We're going to play as a team. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Lots to unpack for sure. I like that you brought it up, and it's funny because I was actually going to ask you the question. First of all, the Hawks look good. Back to what I was saying, Kevin, we wanted to do the podcast in the morning. Drake plays poker. Drake goes to work. You know, he goes to make money. Everybody's making money. We're getting the bags. All right. He's out in Arizona getting bags. Kevin's in Iowa City getting bags. I'm in Waukee getting bags.
Is Kevin getting bags or is he handing out bags? Like, are Doc screwing up surgeries and Kevin just there with the body bag to zip them up afterwards, take care of the scraps and act like the doctors didn't do anything wrong?
That could be it. All I know is he said that when people get hurt and he's in a surgery, he's making money. And that's all I know. So then we realized, well, Kevin can't do it till late on Sunday. Drake wants to do it early on Sunday. We're probably going to only end up with one person on the podcast besides me anyway. And so let's just get it done. I got the executive decision there, that 34% decision.
And I said, we're going in the morning. Sorry.
And Kevin. Then you add my 33% in there. And that was a 67% decision. Kevin was really drawing dead from the start.
Heavy majority. Yeah. So here we are. And it's Oil Spill Podcast. Kirk Ferentz has now won 100 Big Ten games. We were a part of, how many were we a part of? We would have been.
I mean, we had to have won at least like 25, right? 24-ish.
I mean, eight in 2015 alone. And I don't think we went any worse than 500 in any of the other years. So that would have had to have been, we're up in the mid-20s. We're in for a quarter of that. Which makes sense because we were there for 5 years out of 20 years.
And it also makes sense because we have the number one most successful team in program history. Shout out Anger.
Yeah. Yeah. Success-wise. He joins Woody Hayes, who I'm pretty sure punched an opposing player at some point. Like during a game.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did.
What an absolutely savage move.
Dude, the football in the world were so different back then. Like Bobby Knight was throwing chairs. Woody Hayes was punching opposing players. I miss Bobby those days.
Bobby Knight, there's just, you can't be Bobby Knight now. You can't do that.
The world. No, he was outlawed about 40 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, they wanted to cancel. I think Bobby Knight was the first guy on the cancel list.
Dude, they tried to cancel Bob Knight damn near before they even had SportsCenter.
I know. I mean, he was running like a true concentration camp program, you know?
Yeah. But he was getting the most out of his players.
But goddamn, he won. He won a lot, I think. I don't know his stats specifically, but he was a good coach. He got, yeah. Now you can't even be, you couldn't even be Bobby Knight's right leg. You couldn't even be, I mean, you're just not going to be, it's not going to happen. He joins Woody Hayes, who punched a guy, Bo Schembechler, who is just 300 times better than Harbaugh at Michigan.
At least.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Harbaugh too. Amos Alonzo Stagg, who has quite the name, and I'm pretty sure he invented the famous Amos little cookies that you find.
And I think he also invented Stagg whiskey.
Yeah, Stagg whiskey and famous Amos cookies that you find in the vending machines at the YMCA. They're stale as hell, but they're still somehow delicious.
And if I remember correctly, he actually invented Harry's Patronus.
Yeah. Yeah. The Stag. Yep. That's what happened. He was in on the Harry Potter filming. He and Voldemort were close back in the 60s, I think. So, you know, four guys have gotten 100 wins and Kirk Ferentz is one of them. It's just... And the first thing he says is when they ask him about it after the game is, well, it probably just means that it took me a lot longer to get there. Like he's so, it's just like, he so doesn't care about it, but he does care so much about like the guys and the players.
I'll tell you what, 5 out of 8 for 20 straight years isn't too bad.
It's not bad. It's a lot better than people think. And, you know, you see Barta giving him the ball in the locker room after the game, talking about how Penn State was one of the first big wins of the program back in like 2001 when they started to turn it around, started to actually get wins. And then, you know, 10 years ago was the last time that we have beaten Penn State. Unfortunately, myself, Kevin, and the rest of all of our teammates never got to see a win against the Nittany Lions. We were really close. 1 year.
Dude, that Kinnick game, I still think about it often, and it still haunts like my dreams and my awake thoughts. And yeah. Trace McSorley will be one of the last people I see in my mind when the good Lord brings me home.
When the light disappears, yeah. That one hurt. That one hurt bad. Is that the second most hurt after the Big Ten Championship for us?
Close. It has to be.
It's got to be. The Rose Bowl didn't hurt. Like The first play hurt, and like as it kind of started to slip away, it was like, damn it, we're really losing out on a cool opportunity here. But man, the night game against Penn State, we had them. That one, it's definitely top three. I can't think of another one that hurts as bad as that, other than the Big Ten Championship. But the boys got it done. This I said in the reaction podcast I put up for the walk-on Army last night. First of all, thank you. We are over a milestone, 100 strong in the walk-on Army.
Shout out to the Army, man. You're the true patrons.
Representing not only that, but like even those who aren't in the walk-on Army. Last week, I know I hit hard on the whole YouTube subscription thing. Please subscribe to the YouTube. We went up like 70 subscribers after I asked for people to subscribe. We're like 140 some away now. We're like at 850 something. 140.
Ooh, that's close.
We're getting close, dude.
I might have to take my genitalia out on camera and start swinging it around or something for these people. Thank them a little bit.
That would probably be, I'm not sure about the.
Would that be a deterrent?
Well, I'm not. I just don't know about the laws in Arizona and if that's really. We're going to have to check if you can do the podcast from a prison cell.
Gotcha.
But that might be some exclusive. I have been saying that there's going to be exclusive content, and that would be about as exclusive as it gets. Yeah. So, you know, the Hawks, they're not the Penn State Nittany Lions of normal. There is some serious sickness going on in a state college. It would be bad to be a Penn State fan right now. I actually scrolled through a few of the Twitter. I went and searched the Barstool Penn State Twitter. And like, I mean, at this point, they fully embrace just being complete dog shit because there's really not much else they can do.
Think about this, dude. They benched their starting quarterback for like a half of football. They destroyed his confidence, made him feel second rate, and then just put him in after the backup only takes a half of football. Like James Franklin, you're fired.
Dude, like, and I'm looking at the stats right here because we're going to get into it. Will Levis, I mean, so they start the game and they go down with that first drive, and they're just, I mean, it's like all Will Levis, run the ball, quarterback run, option, or read option.
And how about Will Levis thinking that he's prime Cam Newton?
Well, that's the thing is like, I was watching it. I actually watched the game with my family. It was Lauren's birthday last week. So we got over to my family's house, yesterday evening to watch the game. We usually watch it by ourselves. So, you know, we're sitting there watching with my family and, you know, my mom's giving me shit about the first drive and like me getting on Twitter and like being, you know, Mr. Iowa Twitter guy. She's like, all right, what's the analysis on that one? And I was like, you know what? If they're going to do that all game, I feel really good about it because Will Levis is going to feel like he got pinned to a wall with a wrecking ball. If they keep running like this, and not only that, but that type of 3-4 yard dink and dunk quarterback run offense is, I don't know if it's ever won a full 60 minute game against the Iowa bend don't break defense. And so I felt incredible about it. And of course, what do you know? The Iowa offense wakes up a little bit. We start to run the ball. Mekhi Sargent goes for 100 in 15 carries, a 6.7 yard average with 2 tutters. Mekhi, huge game.
Dude, these kids are beasts. Our running backs are beasts. They're undersized beasts.
I'm telling you, I've been talking about Mekhi. I really feel like
he's Mekhi, as Kevin calls him.
Or Mekhi, yeah. Or Mekhi. He's so good. Like, he's not Tyler Goodson's skill good. And I think that was really. I think it was, you watched the whole game?
Yeah, I saw it all.
So Tyler Goodson's run to go, I think it was the first touchdown to go up 10-7, where he got out on the edge against the one guy and he just put the quick little, just the quick jab and made it to the edge, the corner. Iowa running backs have not been able to do that. Akram could do it, but you didn't see, you didn't even see guys like Sean Green didn't do that. Sean Green ran people over. Mark Wiseman ran people over. LaShawn Daniels ran people over. Torin ran people over. Tyler Goodson can not only, you know, he's not going to absolutely bowl people over all game. He likes to lower the shoulder, but when you get him in space, and this is why like teams with the one, you need guys who win one-on-one, because at some point the defense is going to match up. It's going to be one-on-one everywhere. You've seen it with Brandon Smith a little bit, where he can win one-on-one fairly regularly on the edge if it's him versus a guy. And it's a jump ball. Tyler Goodson can do it in space. And that's
correct me
what,
if I'm wrong. It looks like he plays at multiple different speeds. Like yesterday in the open field, he showed two different gears. And the one time he played at like a little smoother gear because there was clearly somebody he was going to have to make a move on. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, when he got out and it was just him in some open field, he cut it up even more. So like he plays at a weird like pace that most people don't play at.
It's a two-speed game that you see.
It's almost like a Le'Veon Bell pace.
Le'Veon Bell, exactly who I was going to say. If he has to be, he can hit the hole hard. You get that one step out of the backfield, you turn, you run through the B gap, and you're just downhill. He can do that. But if you put him out in space, or you pull a guy out into space and he has to take, you know, a 75% speed into, you know, now we're playing chess, not checkers. And you've talked about it, Drake, how the game is slower for him. It just is.
It looks like it. It looks like he plays on a similar gradient scale to what Akram did. Where when Akram was playing at his best, the defenders simply didn't have a chance.
I would love to hear him describe it, or somebody who has that ability to describe it. But what it looks like is because they know they have the ability of, okay, when a guy gets in my bubble, I know I have the skill level to get out and get away. I have the elusiveness. I can get away and keep going. They're not worried about so much just getting what they can. They can almost turn the play, that 6-7 second play, into, okay, we're playing tag. Like I'm here, I'm there, I'm looking two moves ahead. It's so fun to watch. And it's just in the Iowa program, we just haven't had guys come around like that. That's why Akram, minus all his off the field stuff now, he was absolutely electric factory with the ball in his hands.
Absolute electric factory.
I mean, if the kid would have just decided he wanted to be 205 pounds, who knows what he'd be doing right now in the league. And I mean, it just doesn't come around like that. And so to have a guy like Tyler, and then Makai, who just seems to be almost robotic, like give him the ball, he just gets done what you need done. A long of 28 for Makai, a long of 25 for Tyler Goodson. I mean, Penn State, again, they're 0-5. Their defense isn't good. And you mentioned how they brought Clifford back in the second half. Will Levis was 13 of 16.
So he must have got hurt trying to turn himself into Mike Allstott.
That's what I've been thinking. I mean, Jack Campbell, and
is he really 6'5"? I heard him talking about on the broadcast. Jack Campbell's 6'5".
I don't think he's 6'5". He didn't look that tall, but
I know that's what I was thinking.
I think he's more like 6'3". He might be 6'4".
That's still a tall linebacker.
But if you're running into dudes like Campbell and Seth Benson, and every once in a while Van Valkenburg or Davion or Chauncey get a hold of you, you just, as a quarterback, you can't do that and then feel good and be able to like smoothly run an offense and throw passes.
We can't forget about my guy Face Neiman, that feels like he's been in the program now for 7 years. I don't know how this guy keeps getting eligibility to play linebacker, but he can play the shit out of some linebacker, and he looks and sellies identical to Ben.
Identical.
And we were talking about it yesterday during the game. I'm like, dude, he's for sure your brother, because y'all look identical in everything you do.
Yeah, Ben is just a little bit bigger.
A little bit faster.
I still, and you're right.
I don't know that he's bigger, dude. I may challenge that. I think Nick might be thicker.
Okay, maybe.
Ben's faster though.
They're very similar. It's very close. Very similar. 17 tackles, dude. He had 13 at half. Yeah. I mean, I want to.
He
make
was
sure
out of his mind.
Go down here on the defensive side. Nick Neiman, 17 tackles, 6 solo, a tackle for loss. Just absolute all over the field.
Does Van Valkenburg have a little Drew Ott in him? Not quite as spectacular, but has a little Drew Ott in him.
A ton of Drew Ott. The same kind of body type, same way that they lean on guys. I think Drew was a little faster.
Drew was just more, he was more special.
He had it. Drew's one of the, I think a lot of Iowa fans would probably agree with this. You look back on Drew and the shitty injury he had against Illinois during our good, I mean, he's probably, not probably, I think he's an NFL D end.
There's no doubt about it.
He was so
That's
talented.
Why he still had a chance like 4 years later when his knee didn't heal right is because he was so good.
That was one of the shitty ones that kind of got away. And then he didn't get the waiver. I mean, just got absolutely royally screwed. But yeah, Van Valkenburg does have a little bit of him in there. Our defense seems to be, I don't know if there's a star on the defense. Davion is really good.
Davion is probably the best interior tackle in the Big Ten, unless you show me somebody else.
And what other interior tackle houses a pick six with a Euro step?
That has to be the most athletic thing that any Iowa defensive tackle has done.
Outrunning a quarterback, and I don't think Clifford. I think Clifford. Once that got picked, I think Clifford was actually running for the locker room. He wasn't trying to cut Davion off. Yeah, I don't think he was cutting Davion off. I think he was actually looking for.
No, he was. You know what he was running for? He was running for the transfer portal.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He was trying to find somebody, a team somewhere that's struggling at quarterback immediately. It's just smart. I would get as far away as from James Franklin as I possibly could.
Dude, I would have committed as far away from James Franklin as I possibly could.
Yeah, honestly, USC or Florida, somewhere as far away from Pennsylvania as you can. That guy just seems like an asshole. Here's a question. So it's Corona Chronicles 2020. You know, Iowa starts 0-2. Michigan is trash. Michigan State's trash. Indiana is challenging Ohio State for the Big Ten title, or the East at least. Penn State's 0-5, right? What is this year? As a Penn State fan in that program, I know that they have a little off-the-field issues too now. Does Franklin get a pass this year?
Franklin gets a pass. He's been too good for too long there.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's my opinion as well.
And he took them from a place, correct me if I'm wrong, he took them from a place where they had huge scholarship negative implications, and he took like a 45 scholarship team or something and turned it into a Big Ten champ. So
yeah,
well, really, I mean, hate on the guy for that, but I still hate him. So
yeah, I mean, he dug them out of he dug them straight up out of Epstein's like sex island. That's basically where he dug him out of.
Or Paterno's grave.
Yeah. I mean, just what a wild situation that was.
I think I was going to open this podcast with a pee-pee toucher joke, but
it almost feels wrong at 0-5.
We kind of, now don't cancel me.
Canceled.
We kind of sexually molested him yesterday.
I mean, we did for a brief moment in the third quarter. I think we definitely we touched them a little bit. For a brief moment in the third quarter, I think fans got scared because, again, like we talked about, Brady talked about it when we had him on last week. For some reason, if you are a guy who is you're in the running for a starting position, it's between you and another guy, and you're the guy that gets benched, and then you get brought in mid game. It doesn't matter. It was Will Levis last week for him, and now they flip the position where Will Levis gets this just because he gets that starting tag, and Clifford is backup. Now Clifford comes in, and he's like 2 for 2 with 2 touchdowns. There was a quick moment of like, oh, shit, like what's going on? Are we really going to do this? But
lost hope.
What ultimately prevailed was, one, the Iowa defense, again, Davion's probably the star. I think he's going to the league after this year. Everybody else, I mean, it's just like, hey, we just got a bunch of really solid dudes out there. I think we have a couple future stars. I think Belton is going to be elite.
Is he just very Imani Hooker-ish? You think he's just going to be Imani 2.0?
Yeah, I just think his body, he doesn't look like Gino or Imani or Desmond. He's bigger than that. Like,
bigger than Imani?
Yeah, man, he's taller. He probably isn't quite as thick. Imani brought the hand, like Imani. Dude, Imani's part of the thick boy club.
We talked about Imani on Imani's podcast. When he was a freshman, I was angry when he got sent down to scout team.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
I mean, yeah, he's one of those dudes. He's a different dude, but height-wise, Belton has the
I just didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah, he's right here. Let me click on his name real quick. I'm going to see if I can't. Yeah, it says he's 6'1".
Taller than I thought he was. That's way taller. Dude, I'm like 6'1 and a half maybe.
Yeah, I actually thought he was 6'2". I mean, that's what he looks like. He's big, dude. And obviously he's a young kid still. So he's got a year, 2 years to put on some real girth. Says he's 205. I bet he's in between 205 and 210. He reminds me of like when the Seattle was really rolling with the Legion of Boom. Mm-hmm. He feels like one of those players to me.
Are you about to say he's Cam Chancellor?
He's not Cam Chancellor because nobody's Cam Chancellor. But he's like maybe the Iowa Cam Chancellor light version. Like you go into the store and you see the vanilla ice cream and the vanilla light. He's the light version. He plays smart. His effort is incredible. It's funny because as I watch this, I'm on the ESPN thing here for the stats. It's replaying Davion's pick six. It's so incredible. Dude, he actually Euro stepped him.
Dude, that's the most athletic thing I've seen out of a defensive tackle in a long time.
I know. And Broad tweeted that he did it first because you remember Broad had that pick six, but it wasn't 70 yards. It was like, I think it was like 40 yards or maybe 30 yards. Mm-hmm. Broad back when like in the 08 or
something. Oh, yeah. I remember the play.
There's not a lot to say. I mean, let's be honest. Spencer in the passing game. Here's what I will say about the passing game. Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, you, listen up. Yeah, you guys know, we're back again. We've partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. Louis Lens, guys. LouisLens.com. All right. You've heard the ad over the last couple months, and we are sticking with Louis. He has proved to be one of the best, truly. And you can see that in his Google reviews. He has 112 reviews, 5-star rating on Google. He is who you need to go to if you have mortgage needs. Wade Anderson on Google said, Louis did a great job working on our new mortgage. He went out of his way to make sure we got the best rate on our new home and worked extended hours some days to meet our work schedules. Would recommend anyone looking to purchase a new home to speak with Louis to make their dream of home buying a reality. Isn't that what you want? When you're trying to be in that process of buying a home, something that most people don't know a lot about, you want somebody that's going to give you the peace of mind and make you feel like as you walk away from that situation that you got the best deal and you were able to go through the entire process simply and educated throughout the entire thing. All right, Louis' cell phone number is 515-238-9949. Did you guys know that HousingWire, according to HousingWire, 90% of Americans could benefit from a mortgage refinance today? Call Louis at 515-238-9949. 9949. If you have a mortgage and haven't looked at it yet, call Louie. 515-238-9949. Very, very spread out. You look at the catches yesterday. Nico, 4 catches. Sam Laporta, 3 catches. Brandon Smith, 3 catches. ISM, 2. Sean Beyer, 2. Beyer kind of playing now. When Beyer gets
Beyer had that sweet hurdle.
Little hurdle, put the shoulder down on one play.
And I'll tell you what, that play that Amir almost scored on, I mean, he was so open.
Yeah.
It was Spencer overthrew him a little bit. Fuck it. Everybody has a bad throw every once in a while, but he was so open.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to argue. People argue that Spencer has a bad throw every couple times in a while, but, and he does. Fully understand that Spencer, you know, Spencer went 18 of 28 for almost 200 yesterday. Didn't throw a touchdown. I mean, he hardly has any touchdown passes this year. The passing
that's game, because we have 400 rushing touchdowns.
I know. And it's weird, right? Because we've now scored.
We have 2 running backs that are going to win the Doak Walker.
I know. It's like, it's almost like these first, and this brings us all the way circling back to what you started with is it's almost like the first 2 games versus these last 3 games are 2 completely different teams and seasons.
They're different football teams.
You called them out after the loss against Northwestern.
The second loss.
Which actually at this point, a 1-point loss to the 5-0 Northwestern Wildcats looks really not bad.
But look at the way that happened.
I know. People are going to say, well, we should have won that game. We should have won the Purdue game. I mean, there's a legitimate argument that we should be 5-0.
And the team that played the past 2 weeks, maybe not week 3, like they were pretty good week 3, but definitely the last 2 weeks would have won those first 2 games. The 3-0 Hawks would be the 5-0 Hawks. That's what I'm saying. They're 2 different teams.
It's weird. It's really weird. God damn it. Because what we have basically is the last 3 weeks. I mean, you or I could have been put in at quarterback and we could have won these games essentially. Like we don't,
as long as I knew the run checks, dude.
Yeah.
We were going to run the ball 50 times anyways.
Yeah. I mean, Spencer on the season is what's he got this year? This year he's 90 of 162.
162 divided by 55% not that bad.
It's 55, almost 56%.
No, I'm just thinking about attempts per game. He's over 30.
Yeah.
Because he had that one game of 50. 500.
Yeah. He's just under 1,000 yards. He only has 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. It's just not like he's quite honestly on the stat line, the most boring
the most important thing for Spencer for the rest of the year is the very last stat that you named. If his 4 interceptions stays between 4 and 6, this team is going to have a really good end of the season.
I agree. Here's what we got left on the schedule. This week we play the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and they just lost to
the shit Huskers.
Yeah. That's who we got.
I was talking to Jeremiah yesterday. I was texting with him and he was like, you guys are going to beat the shit out of us next weekend.
It kind of feels that way, right? Like in a normal year, it feels like yesterday was a game where Penn State would push back a little bit. It would be drama, but it ended up, you know, it's a 20-point game. It feels like last night. Let's talk about this quick. It feels like last night, Michigan 1-3 versus Rutgers 1-2. It feels like that's a game where Michigan is finally like 4 games into the season, and they're like, okay, we're set. We're putting the foot down. We're gonna beat Rutgers by a lot and not have to backdoor win a game in the third overtime. Now, which I actually stayed up for because this game was the last game of a 4-team teaser that I had. I got Michigan teased from -12 down to -6.
Did they win by a tutty?
They won by 6 and pushed, and my teaser cashed, bro.
Turn up, baby.
Not only that, but to do it, they had to go to overtime. In the first overtime, they got the ball first, which means that which was good because I needed them to score first to get. Otherwise, if they just, well, here's how it goes. they scored a field goal. So I need them to stop Rutgers, but still I need Rutgers to get the field goal so that we can go to second overtime and I have a chance. Okay. Now in second overtime, I need Rutgers to score a touchdown because
or not score at all.
But even then Michigan's probably just playing for the field goal win.
Yeah.
So then I need them to go to a third overtime so that Michigan
can score a touchdown and Rutgers can get stopped.
And that's exactly what happened, dude. And I cashed my T's, but you would think that Michigan steps up, wins that game handily. They don't.
Were you a sweaty little boy?
Sweating at 11 p.m. last night. Sweating like the whores in church. Sweating like Kevin during the first camp sitting in the linebacker room. Sweating like a diabetic in the back booth at the Wendy's. It was a full sweat. And the boys were kind of on one yesterday. For those listening, the Benton boys were kind of hitting.
Dude, the bets that we told the people for yesterday, if you cash the bets, then you're a happy camper today going into a big betting Sunday.
It's a big Sunday. And I'm repping.
And what's with our host being a piece of shit and not putting out the graphics for the people?
Yeah, that guy fucked up big time. I apologize. Here's what happened. Usually I
who I'm sweating this week? I didn't write it down. I expected you to have the graphic.
I will get the graphic out. I'm going to re-listen because usually what I do is I write them down so I don't have to go back to the podcast and listen. And then I make the graphic from there. I didn't write them down last week. I forgot. So I'm going to
start from the last 10 minutes.
Yes. This is about it. This is for those wondering, are we going to see Spencer Petras come out in the last three games and be a different guy? No, we're not. All right. Excuse me. We're not going to see a different Spencer Petras. We're not going to see a 75% completion, you know, a 22, 23 for 30 for 300 yards like Nate Stanley was.
But maybe we will see a 75% completion though. Maybe we will. And hear me out here, because we found our identity. We're a run team. Brian loves it. He loves to run the ball. He's found out that his team loves to run the ball. He's got a huge boner right now. And so does his offensive line. So do his running backs. That is the best possible scenario for Spencer. Yep. Because that opens up the play action game. And that makes it so that his passes are for much shorter yards most of the time, and the ones that are for long yards, the guy is by himself. Yeah, so Brian, maybe he does become a 70% thrower.
It could be. Brian's probably happy he got out of state college with that boner safely. Now we play Nebraska, not good. Illinois just made them look like a D2 team. Illinois isn't good. You would think like, oh, it's Nebraska playing for the, you know, playing for the, what's it called? The Heroes Trophy. I just don't think that this is, I mean, I watched the Nebraska game because Lauren's a Nebraska fan. It was on at 11 yesterday. So I watched most of that game. Our boy, Oliver Martin, who we called going to Nebraska before anybody, by the way.
We called everything about this kid's career so far, dude. Yeah. You might as well call us. You might as well call me Drake Stradamus when it comes to this fucking guy.
And you want to know what? I feel bad because those, do you know how much it is to transfer a transcript? I mean, the fees for this kid are,
and now he's walking on, dude.
They're all over the place. I mean, how many
out of state tuition?
Two times.
Come on.
What's
he doing to his folks?
Our guy showed up. He was eligible last week. He had two catches yesterday. And you know, Nebraska just doesn't have, their running back is okay. They're starting McCaffrey's brother, who has half of Christian's genetics. Still a good looks like he has a good future, but he's just not there yet. And the defense is just, you know, they're just okay at best sometimes. This is with the way I was rolling, even with a bad passing defense, I think Iowa runs all over them. We'll talk about it more on Thursday. But after that, we play Illinois, who, you know, those two teams just played. Again, it's 2020. Anything can happen. But it looks like the next two games should be a win. And then really, we play Wisconsin to end the year, which was supposed to be a lot more exciting than it's going to be. But we're going to be potentially playing Wisconsin to go 6-2.
I was going to say, with potential to be 6-0 in the last six, that's still a pretty big game.
Which is going to make fans, you know, it would be great to beat Wisconsin. I want nothing more.
It would be incredible.
And what Northwestern just did to them last night was, to be honest, shocking. And I didn't watch any of it because I was watching the Michigan-Rutgers game because I had the skin on it. 7 points for Wisconsin, 17-7. Fitz does it again. The Tits Gerald, he goes and does it again.
Titties is going to a Big Ten championship.
Bro, I mean, respect. I mean, like we said, respect him. He's just...
Titties in the city, man.
Yeah. He's going to Indianapolis, and that'll be interesting. Ohio State will absolutely murder them.
I don't know, though. Ohio State gives up a lot of points.
They do. And they made it close versus Indiana, who looked for a while there. It was like, oh, God.
Ohio State couldn't cover anybody. I could have gotten open on Ohio State's defense yesterday.
Indiana was part of the boys' bets yesterday. We all took them. You know, most of you guys had them at plus 21. I had them teased to plus 26.5 in that teaser I'm talking about. And that didn't feel good for a while, but then they made it.
I just want to say you're welcome to anger again on record. He hit me up for my bets, and the bets that I gave him yesterday cashed. So I hope the ones this weekend or today cash. So all the bets I gave him, and I'll just make sure that he renames me Drake Stradamus.
Yeah. He tweeted that. He tweeted that he thinks James Franklin is a foot guy. He likes feet. And you got a guy that likes feet, and that's just not really a guy that you want to hang out with. You don't go to the bar with that guy.
Yeah. You don't make friends with the guy who sucks toes.
No. So that's the rest of Iowa's schedule. 6-0, potentially. Wisconsin's going to be a tough game. I would love nothing more than to beat Penn State. After the first two games of this season, if you told me, well, we're going to end up with all the trophies and you're going to beat Penn State as well, I mean, shit. I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it. If we end up 6-0, it's probably what we expected in the beginning or around there. Maybe losses to Penn State and Wisconsin, and then we end up beating those two, losing to the other two. I mean, I know it feels weird. Well, how do we feel about this game, or this season? But it really could be the start of, you know,
in the locker room would feel real bad about the fact that they let their own egos get in the way of something real special.
Well, at that point, you're looking at one point from being 7-1 and the same record as Northwestern, because if we beat we change that one point around, we have the head up against them. We're both 7-1. We're in the Big Ten championship. If we run the table, if we win three games, it will hurt a little bit because we will have been 1 point away in the second game of the year from being the Big Ten champion or the West champion and going to the Big Ten championship, which is going to suck. But that's what we want to see. We want to see them run the table, and I think it's super possible. Like I said, Spencer's not going to turn into, you know, he might shore up things again, interceptions wise. That's really what we need him to do, is just stay solid. Keep getting it to guys. We're going to run behind Makai in that O-line and T Good. That's going to be the Iowa Hawkeyes for the next three games, and then the crossover game with whoever we get. And it's going to be open competition, open season. It's going to be quarterback season, January 1st in the Hawkeye Complex. I hope that Deuce Hogan and Padilla and Spencer are all licking their chops, and it's just going to be an all-out battle. I really do. I'm repping the Bills today. I'm repping our
shout out the Mafia, even though they're off. I tried to get Ike on the podcast today, but he said that because it was bye week, his wife had quite the day planned for him, and he was not scummed, you know, but maybe maybe a little bit that he couldn't just kick his feet up.
Slight nuisance that he couldn't pop on with the boys. That's okay. I you know, that's all right. He deserves the time off. The Bills, the NFL season is. It's going to get real interesting. I'm excited. I don't know. Me and the wife, we got to find another teaser to hit today. I've been trash on the podcast openly, and we'll update you on those numbers when we get to the midweek episode for this whole weekend. But put in an NFL teaser last Sunday, put in the college teaser yesterday. Those are the only teasers I've ever done, and I'm 2 for 2 on teasers. So I think I found my lane in betting. And they're fun to sweat too. I don't know. I don't have much else. What? Oh, I know. There's one thing I wanted to mention. The Wildcat. We talked about the Wildcat. We saw one or two plays of it. And T Good, they were running that Baltimore Ravens Heisman set, and T Good handed it off to Mekhi for like a 10-yard gain. That is the kind of stuff, at least maybe not some passes, but we have to see the ball leave T Good's hands as the QB. To make sure that they're just not keying him. And what actually happened was the reason Mekhi got 10 yards is because they kind of bit down on and really sold on T Good there, and he handed it off, and Mekhi ran around the edge for like 8 or 10 yards. So good to see. You know, there's not a lot else to talk about. There just isn't. What else? I mean, yeah. Anything else, Drake, before we leave?
No, man. I just hope that we continue to see this Hawks team because they look hungry.
I do too. Oil Spill Podcast 165. That's it. I hope everybody has a fantastic Monday. It is Nebraska week, so that means we're playing on a Friday. I hopefully will be attending the game. I believe.
Shout out. In Nebraska or in Iowa City?
It's in Iowa City. And
which one's closer for you?
They are about even. Lincoln is 2.5 away if you drive fast, and Iowa City's just over 1.5 hours. So it's about the same. It's pretty close.
Yeah, it's not that much.
So it wouldn't be bad either way, but it's going to be in Kinnick Stadium. I think, you know, the weather's been all right here in Iowa for the past week or so. Let me pull up the quick old radar or the old weather app. It says that on Friday. Oh, we're not going to load. Cool. Oh, cool. I pull up the app. Sick. Yes. The old Chris D'Elia.
Hey, we can't. Yeah, I was about to say we can't do as much D'Elia on this podcast anymore because he might be a kid toucher, but he also might not.
Yeah, did he go to Penn State?
He probably went to Penn State.
Well, the app's not loading, and I love it. Okay, that's it. It was the Drake and Tyler Oil Spill Podcast, and that's what you get. Hopefully,
and it went pretty well.
Honestly. I thought it went good.
This podcast was pretty funny.
I thought it went good. Kevin, someone slipped and fell and broke their hip.
Broke a hip.
And Kevin's fixing him like Humpty Dumpty on the wall. So, Nebraska. Hopefully, Kevin's got to be back.
Natrashka, bro. It's Natrashka.
Natrashka. quick note before we. Before we leave off, they brought out the black shirts and absolutely got stomped.
It makes me feel great, dude. We've been calling them the fucking white shirts and fake shirts and the fraudulent shirts for however many years on this podcast, and they just keep proving us right.
Even Searles tweeted, hey, can we put on the red jerseys at halftime? Like, it's a curse. Kevin said it. They scored. Illinois went up early 7-0, and Kevin tweeted texted the group and said, they brought out the black shirts, automatic L for the Huskers.
Yeah, he did.
And it happened. So that's what we have to look forward to. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. We will talk at you again Thursday, the day before we take on Nebraska. There will be plenty of Nebraska trash talk. Maybe we get Searles on for this episode.
Yeah, I'm going to hit him up about immediately.
And I know the fans loved having him on, so it should be a fun week of content. Again, hope you guys have a fantastic week. We will talk at you again soon.
Spill some oil.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.